Lord, thank you. Thank you very much, my sister, for reading that portion of scripture to us tonight. And that is the passage that we are hoping that we will spend a little time on. And I trust that if you did check it out, if you did spend some time in there, the Lord has revealed something to you too that you would like to share with us tonight. We believe that there will be time enough for it, and so we are open to those suggestions and thoughts. Bless God. But I just want to use this opportunity to say a very, very pleasant good evening to all of us who are here in this service tonight. And I trust that the Lord will bless you as you spend the rest of time with us in this service. And the Lord will not only bless you, but at the same time reveal something to your spirit. Reveal something to your communicate some thought, a word. Let the Holy Ghost use a word to attract you, to get your attention, so that your heart will be focused upon the Lord in an outstanding way. I'm so glad tonight to have with us Sister Sharon. I'm sure I heard her name. We have her voice. We have not heard you for a long time, Sister Sharon. We're so glad to have you tonight with us. We are so glad to have Sister Donna on our feet as well. We bless God for you. We trust that tonight we will have a good meeting as we give God the glory and the praise that is due only to Him. We are also going to have Sister Barbara towards the end of the service, officiating in a birthday for one of our pastors. And we look forward to that. I will not call the name now. That is a surprise until when the time comes. And so we're asking you to stay until that time when Sister Barbara will pick up that part of the service. All right, but tonight we will continue to talk about the work of the Holy Ghost in the early church. And as I said to you, we are going to open the microphones and we're going to ask for your comments and your thoughts, as you probably would have gone through Acts chapter 10, and maybe the Lord would have revealed something there to you. Praise the Lord. But let me just remind you of what happened in Acts. Acts is a very interesting chapter. Acts chapter 10 is very interesting to us. Based on what we see there, it appealed to us primarily because of our position. We are Gentiles, and the way in which all of this come together, it speaks to the wisdom of God. We must bear in mind that this church belongs to the Lord. And this church, I'm not so much speaking about the apostolic church here. The apostolic church is only a part of the church. The universal church belongs to the Lord. It is He who bled and died for it. It is He who brought it into being. The church is one foundation built upon Jesus Christ our Lord. And so when we look in Acts chapter 10 to see the wisdom of God in including the Gentile into this company, we have to give Him the praise, the glory that is due to Him. We find out that there is a man called Cornelius who was a centurion. The Bible describes him as a centurion having 100 soldiers that he is responsible for. Head of the Italian band, served the government with great extension. And apart from that, he manned his family. He carries his family with him in terms of how his commitment is to God. Oftentimes, if you read it in the earlier part of the chapter, you discover how much time his household is mentioned. And what he does, there are two outstanding things that he does. He gave alms to the people. He was a generous man. Very generous indeed. And he's doing it not because of he wants somebody to talk about him per se. But he's giving towards people's need as he see fit. He continued to do that over time. And not only that he gave alms, the word tells us, but he prayed. He prayed continuously to God. And God heard him, and God saw what he did. And I don't want you to get the impression that here is an example of works, one working for their salvation. No, 1,000 times, no. It is not of works that any man should boast, declare the word. Cornelius was not working to bribe God. His intention was nowhere near bribing God. His intention was honorable. He wanted to get an intimate relationship with this God. And he senses that part of serving God is doing what he's doing. Giving to the need of people and having fellowship with God by praying. He senses that this is a vital part of it. Not in the slightest thought of trying to bribe God. But in doing so, the Lord recognized what he's doing. The Lord recognized the effort the brother was making. And the Lord honored the effort that he was making. And more so, the Lord decided that he was going to satisfy his seeking, his inward desire. He needed something. And the Lord decided that he is going to start. So the Lord dispatched an angel, as the word tells us, from his throne room and explained to him and telling him that his alms and his prayers came up before him, God, as a memorial. And as a result of that, he's to send to Joppa for one Peter that lies there. And the Lord knows exactly where one of us live. The Lord knows exactly where every one of us, the Lord knows our zip code. Because the Lord told Cornelius by way of the angel exactly where Peter was in Joppa. And that is where Cornelius should send his servants to get Peter to come to him, Cornelius, to tell him the things that he needs to hear to satisfy his spiritual longing. The last time we were on this, we said, we marvel that the fact that the angel came from the throne room of Almighty God. And God knows exactly what the brother needs, Cornelius. Why did not the Lord allow the angel to give him all the necessary information that he needs to satisfy his spiritual longing instead of sending all the way to Joppa to get Peter to come to his house? But the Lord has operated by principle. The Lord operates by principle. Redemption plan is to be told by the redeemed. And Peter, the leader of the church, and we'll come to that in a little while, but the Lord said, send for Peter, and Peter will tell you what you need to know. And here, and we've been through all of that last time. And we are here now in the final stages of Acts chapter 10. That we're going to look at some more because Peter has arrived. Peter has arrived at Cornelius' house by this. After the servant went there, and after Peter was dreaming and saw a sheep came down, knit at four corners with all type of beasts in there, four-footed beast, and there's a voice that accompanied that said, "Rise, kill and eat." And then, interestingly enough, Peter only went up on the housetop because he was hungry, and they were preparing meal. And instead of sitting around and watching them prepare the meal, he went up there to just kind of sit it out in order to get away from the cooking and to get his thoughts together. But he was hungry. He was hungry. The brother was hungry. Peter was hungry. Peter wanted food to eat. And the food could not ready enough downstairs. And the Lord uses that same hunger, that same food element, that same food thinking to bring across a truth to his servant. Whatever situation you and I find ourselves in, God can use it to great effect. It might seem negative, but God can use it to great effect. Don't put nothing past God. Peter being hungry, God show him a sheet with food. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. You're hungry. And then Peter looked in there and Peter saw some of the things that the Old Testament said that he should not eat. Some of the animal that the Old Testament told him that should not be eaten. Peter was able to firmly say, "Lord, I don't eat nothing that is common or unclean." Using the scripture against the instruction of God. But only to know that God was talking about people, not animals. And he thought about it for a while. And while he was thinking about it, the men from Cornelius arrived. And it's after they kill him, while he contemplate the vision, that he discovered that it was more than just meat. It was people. So what we have here right now is that Peter reaches Cornelius' house. And we are told by the word here that the first thing that Cornelius did, Cornelius bowed himself to Peter. Bow himself, because if the Lord was able to dispatch an angel from heaven to instruct you to send for a man, and you send for the man and the man arrive, all set of thought must be passing through your mind. And Cornelius, being such an humble person, this and how we see him through the word of God, he fell down at Peter's feet to worship. This is a very solemn moment in the life of any man, in the life of Peter, in the life of Cornelius, in the life of those who were watching to see what was happening there at this particular time. Solemn moment is a feeling of complete holiness that engulfs the entire region of that house. The man of God met a hungry sinner with a solution that comes from the Holy Ghost. It is a moment of immense pressure on Cornelius. He has never been in this position before. And I want to tell you this, I believe the church today, the church in general today, this is something, the awe that is missing from our congregation. From inside of the church, any church I'm talking about now, that awe, that moment of absolute reverence that captivate the mind and attention of everything that operates. Changes the entire picture. And Peter grabbed him and said, stand up. Don't worship me. I'm a man like you. I'm a man. I'm just a man like you. Yes, the feeling is mutual. The atmosphere is charged by the Holy Ghost. But the principle must be maintained. I am a man like you. Somebody else deserves worship. His name is Jesus. Believers, I believe that there are some vital things that the church, the body of Christ, is missing today. And that is that awesomeness, the awesome presence of Almighty God among us when we come together. Every thought, every idea, every forward thinking becomes puny and nothingness because we are seeing somebody greater. We are engulfed in a situation that is greater than ourselves. And everything becomes nothing outside of the presence of the Lord. Stand up. I am a man like you. I'd like to pick up tonight because I've spent a long time there on that verse. The verse I was referring to was verse 25, Acts 10, verse 25. I will just go straight to the sermon, Peter's sermon, which starts at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. When we think that it is Cornelius alone who needs spiritual awakening, who is seeking after the spiritual goal, that he look across the Jews and see how the Jews worship. And he being a Gentile, he would love to be in a place where he can be identified with the God of the Jews. And may I say here, when I just got saved, I thought it was only black people who were Gentiles. But as long as you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. As long as you are not connected to the 12 tribe of Israel, you are a Gentile, regardless of which country you are from, regardless of what color you are. You are a Gentile. And the Gentile population is much, much bigger than the Jewish population, as it is right now. And so I'm saying to all of us here that Peter opened his sermon, and interestingly enough, Cornelius has his entire household sitting there. And apart from his own soul, there are servants for Cornelius who were also in attendance. And in attendance too is the company that came along with Peter from Joppa. A full house. And Peter, according to what we read here, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And as I said to you, Cornelius is the one who was seeking this breakthrough, this spiritual breakthrough. But Peter, this is a moment for Peter. This is a moment for Peter conversion as well. This is what caused the whole thing to be so dramatic. Cornelius seeking the Lord along with the other Gentile, which is his household and servants. But Peter is also in need of a breakthrough for himself. Peter carries a sense of bias for many years, though a servant of God. And I tell you, something here that happened between Peter and Paul. Shortly after the conversion of Paul, and he went to Damascus to meet with the disciples, he met with Peter also. And I want to tell you something about the discourse that took place in Jerusalem. And Peter, over these years, have this biasness about him, despite the fact that the Lord Jesus told him in Acts 20, in Matthew 28. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. The Lord make that clear. Preach the gospel to all nations. Yet, Peter, after so many years, still confined himself to preaching the gospel to the Jews only. And listen to this confrontation between Peter and Paul. As Paul, as a young convert, go up to Jerusalem to meet the brethren that were there, and eventually came back down to Antioch. Listen to what happened here. I read from verse from Galatians 2. I read from verse 11. I will stop somewhere down there. Maybe I might go down to verse 16. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him, this is Paul speaking, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled themselves with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, if thou be a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentile, and not as though the Jew. Why compellest thou the Gentile to live as do the Jew? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinner of the Gentiles, Know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith, by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I stop there at verse 16, Galatians chapter 2, 11 to 16. From when the apostle Paul, Saul, was converted and went up to Jerusalem, and he saw Peter and the others, and he ultimately came back to Antioch and he started his missionary. Peter came down to Antioch, and Peter would teach with them, including some of the Gentiles. But when the brethren from Jerusalem came down to join them at Antioch, Peter decided that there is no way he is going to allow them to see him associating himself with the Gentiles. So he put aside, he moved away from them to the extent that Barnabas, the man who create the link between Paul and the disciples, Barnabas started to take side with Peter. And that hurt Paul. Paul confronted Peter in the face of everyone else and said, listen, man, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And even with that, saints, even with that, Peter had not changed. Peter still carried this bias with him. Until here, when the Lord, in a dramatic way, showed him the sheep knit at four corners with all different type of animals. And he discovered that the message that this carries is much bigger than him. And here he opened his message to the household of Cornelius by declaring to them his own healing, by saying to them, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Peter was now healed. His biasness has disappeared because of the dramatic involvement with the Lord by way of that sheet. The confrontation with him and the Apostle Paul was something that gets his attention. But he still carries this bias until when the Lord appear unto him in this fashion and show him that the Gentile community is not to be looked down on, but the Gentile community is going to be part of the church that the Lord is establishing. And he was able now to come and open his sermon, which is a relatively short one too, by saying, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, in that spirit, listen to that, in every nation, coming from Peter's mouth now, in every nation, not only the nation of the Jews, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter received his healing right here. And I want to tell you, when I think about the amount of churches in America and all over the world, and the amount of black churches that does not allow any white people to come in their congregation, I want to tell you, they need a dose of what Peter got. The amount of white churches that does not allow any black people to come in their congregation. They need a dose of what Peter got. They need healing. They need healing. Right here in this country, that same old spirit exists that creates segregation between people. It needs to be dismissed in the name of Jesus. And here Peter learned that lesson, and Peter was healed. Peter was healed from his biasness. And he was able to relate to Cornelius and Cornelius' household about the man called Jesus. And I'm going to read verse 36, elaborate on it a little, and then I'm going to open the telephone line. Those of you who would like to make a comment. But let me go to verse 36. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Peter continued his sermon as he moved away from the shocking experience that the Lord showed him, that what he cleansed, no man should call it common or unclean, and the Gentile is going to be part of the same company. The household of God, the body of Christ. Then listen to what he said now. He's moving away from there, and he's pointing all the floodlight upon Jesus. Now I want to tell you this, church. The same sermon that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost is the same sermon Peter carried here. Same sermon Peter carried here to preach to the Gentiles. As he opened the door to the Gentiles, for the Gentiles to come into the Christian community, he preaches, he brought the same message. Listen to what verse 36 says. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he, his Lord of all. That is where he started to put the floodlight upon Jesus. Jesus is Lord of all. You know what? You know what Peter was saying to the congregation there? Peter was saying, this man called Jesus is not only Jesus, but he is Lord. He is not only Lord, but he is God. It is he who we should serve. It is he who was promised to come as the Messiah, and now he is here. Peter, in this verse 36, is describing Jesus as God. You remember in Hebrews chapter 2, I think Hebrews chapter 1, where God the Father called Jesus God. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. God the Father addressing Jesus as God. And John, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. John declared. And Peter here is calling him. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, the Lord God said, my name, I am the Lord, and that is my name. He is God. Peter was saying to Cornelius and his whole soul, this man Jesus, whom they have crucified, is, in fact, when in the sermon of Pentecost, he said, this is who they have crucified. And God had both, let me read it properly so that we are sure about the court. Acts 2:36. Let me get it right. Acts 2 verse 36. Where is that? All right. Acts 2 verse 36. Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Hear what he said. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. That is what he said to the company over there on the day of Pentecost. Now he is using similar words to the Gentile community, and he is declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is fulfilling the role of the Lord Jesus by making sure that the Gentile community embrace Jesus as their Lord, their God, their Savior. As he put the floodlight upon him. I break there for a minute and I open the phone to somebody who might have a thought on what we're saying tonight.
Henry here, Pastor. Good night. This is Donna. Oh. Go ahead, Donna.
Good evening.
My verse is verse 25-26.
Mm-hmm.
I have others too, but I have other verses too, but I'll just talk about these two. This is my thought, and I'm touched by it, what the Spirit showed me. That Cornelius, the way he met Peter, he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And to me, I think it's because of who Peter represents and the way how Cornelius felt about Christ, God, the way how he feared God, the way he lived his life for God. So when this man, and he was sent to him by an angel, it was not that, I hear about Peter, and I'm going to call Peter to come over to talk to me and to tell me what's going on, you know. This was a vision, and this man is special, and this man represents Christ. And because of who Peter represents, that is the reason why I think Cornelius treated him the way he treated him when he came up to him.
Yes.
You know, because it is God. I would often say, if we in our small mind just sit and try to imagine how mighty and powerful God is, I don't even know if we would come out of our houses.
Oh Lord.
I don't know if we would leave. I think we would just stay home and not work and just stay home and praise God all the day long of our lives. So I feel like that is the place where Cornelius was.
Yes, right there, sister. Right there, my sister. Right there. That moment means so much. It means so much. Let's look a little deeper beyond these black and white and see if we can capture that moment. That moment when if an angel came to me and said, "You are to send for a man." And finally the man came. By this time, Cornelius continued to fast. Cornelius continued to pray. Right at that moment, Cornelius was in his fasting and his praying. And he eventually saw him. The man came eventually. And first thing that he thought about doing, I need to worship him.
Amen.
Brethren, let's see if we can capture this moment. Because the moment is much bigger than what we believe. And then Peter, Peter was carrying this burden that was suddenly lifted off him. The burden of biasness. That God, it took God to show him his position. His own life, as he looked down inside of his, the recesses of his own being and see something that was wrong. He knew that Paul talked to him about it long ago. And it was not changed. And it took God to show him unclean animal to relate to humanity. And he got the message and he felt a burden of guilt. That God had to speak to him. Not only that Cornelius wants a spiritual breakthrough, but he needs a breakthrough from his thoughts, which was contrary. And he got it. Hallelujah. And his testimony was his opening verse in his sermon. I perceive that God is no respecter of person. When he said that, sister Donna, when he said that, the brother was speaking to himself as much as speaking to the wider audience there.
Yes.
And he was converted. He was converted from his foul thoughts. Transformed by the power of Almighty God. How much we need this in the pulpit. Too much selfishness, too much individualism is in the pulpit today in different churches. People need to come out of themselves and see God.
Oh, Lord.
It is the mercy of God. It is the mercy of God that allows us to even function. When we think about become, and we behave as if we were the one who stretched out on Calvary and blood dripped from our hands and our head and our side and our feet. We are the ones. That's how we operate. I'm not going to speak to the Gentiles because I am superior to the Gentiles. But he receive his healing, and he received his healing humbly. And he said to the congregation, I perceive that God is no respecter of person.
And you know, Pastor Henry,
this
exchange between Cornelius and Peter, this is so powerful that it really, really speaks to the topic of the study, the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. This very experience here. Because look at how the Holy Spirit is working through Cornelius, with Cornelius and Peter. And the two of them, two different worlds. But the power of God has worked through this gulf and has brought to light how the Holy Spirit can change things around when they are totally out of themselves and allowing God to take full control through the Holy Spirit. There is so much more, in this powerful experience here.
You know, Sister Julie, I wonder why is it that the Lord did not send the Apostle Paul there? Because remember what the Lord said to Ananias? He has chosen Paul to bring the message to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that part in Acts 9? When the Lord called Ananias and sent him to anoint Paul. And in anointing Paul, he instructed Ananias what to say to Paul. Because the Lord, Paul had asked, what will you have me to do? And then the Lord said, you have to go into street, and it will be told you what you should do.
Right.
So the Lord sent Ananias in there. And among the things that the Lord said to Ananias is that he, Paul, is going to bear his name to the Gentiles. And after that, Paul went up to Jerusalem. In the same passage that I've read, where Paul and Peter confront one another. In the same passage, I think it is somewhere there up by maybe 9 or 10 in that verse, where Paul said, they extend to him and Barnabas the right and the fellowship. And in extending the right and the fellowship to him, they said, that is a council, including Peter, said, you will go to the Gentiles. You, Paul, will go and minister to the Gentiles, and we will minister to the circumcision. So Paul, from two angles, had already heard and knew that he was called to minister to the Gentiles. And yet still, the Lord chose Peter to do this work here instead of Paul. Why? Because this biasness must be broken. This biasness must be broken, and it must be broken by the central figure in the church, and that is Peter. The Lord, the wisdom of God, is unfolding itself here. That we have to give him glory. And now Peter starts talk and preach and to tell them about who Jesus is. And to tell them in this old discourse, he demonstrates that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Can we have somebody else? All right, if we don't,
Sister Donna was, she mentioned 25 and 26, and was talking about Cornelius falling down at the feet of Peter and worshiping him. Well, yes, he was this great apostle, we know, the head of the church and all of that, and yes, he must be in awe to know that this man come to him to tell him everything. But and he deserves honor. But listen to what Peter said to him. And we must all realize that Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. We don't bow to no man. We don't worship man.
Yeah.
So, I think somewhere there in Acts 2 with Paul, I don't remember which scripture, they're doing that. You have to stop them and let them, the people, give honor to whom it is due, which is Jesus Christ.
Of course. The Lord needs to be worshipped. And every true, Sister Barbara, every true servant of God, every true servant of God, wherever and whenever they find that this element of worship start to creep in their situation, they kill it right there and then. You know, I remember Sunday, week before the last Sunday, I was not in Miami. And I was told that Pastor Gunter said something which I did not remember, even though I don't remember the time. But if Pastor Gunter said it, obviously he has better memory than me. He said that he and I were somewhere. I don't remember if it was in a church service or somewhere. And I had introduced somebody as brother. I introduced somebody in the congregation as brother. And the person got up. I rebuke the thought and say, I am not a brother. I'm a doctor. No, I must tell the answer. I don't remember, but if Pastor Gunter remember, obviously it went like that. I don't know if it was honorary doctor or he really studied to be some farmer, he has some degree. I don't know. But he refused to be called just a brother. He needs to be called Dr. Brown, Dr. Black, Dr. White, Dr. Gray. I mean, when Ananias put his hands upon Paul, upon Saul, as the Lord sent him to the, what did he say? What did Ananias say? Ananias said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul. That is a tremendous title. Brother Saul means welcome to the family of God. That is what is a man coming off of what Saul was coming off. And to see a young Christian in the person of Ananias going to him with a message from God. And based on the message that he received from God, he was convinced that he's a convert. Saul has been converted. When he left God, he got the full impression that Saul has been changed. Saul is now a servant of God. So he knew that in his mind. And when he got there and saw him, he put his hand, read Acts 9, you will see. He put his hand upon him and said, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Tremendous honor to be called a brother in Christ. As Pastor G was saying, to be called a brother was not good enough for the brother. You need to call me Doctor, Dr. Brown, Dr. Gray, Dr. White. We need to see Jesus. We are not seeing Jesus, that's the thing. We are seeing only ourselves. Sister Barbara, we are seeing ourselves. Peter said, look here, don't worship me. I'm only a man like you.
All the glory go to Jesus. You have to pass it on.
Bless the Lord. All right. We look like we will have to try to give Sister Barbara enough time to do what you're doing as far as the birthday thing is concerned. But let me just close off this by looking at something that happened during Acts 10. Many things that Peter exhort the brethren with here in the short sermon. But I am impressed with verse 44 that says, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they at the circumcision which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. The church door has been opened to the Gentile. The Gentile has just walked in to the church. And then the interesting thing is that it's not that it's the different method that is used here on the Gentiles to get them in the church. It's the same approach like what happened at Pentecost. Happened to the Gentiles that get them inside of the body of Christ. The people who came along with Peter, who were part of the world experience at Pentecost, they witnessed the same falling, the falling of the same spirit on these Gentiles, like what happened to them. And the word said they were astonished. They were astonished to see the falling of the Holy Ghost upon the Gentiles. And they were all saved. They were all born again. They were all redeemed. While Peter was here speaking, some preachers would say, you are interrupting my sermon. But Peter allowed the Holy Ghost to take course and he simply stopped preaching and allowed the Holy Ghost to fill the room, baptize all of them. And they were all filled. And Peter said, can anybody hinder these from being baptized with water? And we have it sometimes, we have it in the reverse way. We normally say that you must be born again, you must be baptized with water, and then you wait to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But the Lord can do something. That's the point of all of us. The Lord hands on a time. The Lord can fill somebody right there in the congregation with the Holy Ghost. The person is not yet baptized. But just fill the person right there in the congregation with the Holy Ghost. That's why we are to be mindful of the presence of the blessed Holy Spirit in our meeting as we continue to our service unto the Lord. So here we have it in Acts chapter 10, that the Gentile community are now officially part of the Christian community. They are part of the body of Christ. Paul put it another way in Ephesians 2. The middle wall of partition have been broken down. And he has made in twain one new man, so making peace. He has broken down that middle wall of partition. And he has brought two people together. Jews and Gentile alike are now part of the body of Christ. We bless the Lord. Where we worship, I'd love to see the people from different denominations, people from different color, creed, or race. I would love to see different people fill that room down there. Let us praise God together and give him the glory. We are one.
Pastor, one more thing.
Yes.
Just one little thing. When Peter had the vision, and God told him not to call anything that he has cleansed unclean. And this verse that you just read about the Gentiles, with the Spirit being, Holy Ghost Spirit being poured out upon them. Like, this is just confirmation, because who God cleansed, no one can call unclean. And this is
exactly. Yeah. It surprises. It surprised that, and then there's another side to this, Sister Barbara. It was very good on Peter's part to bring those weaknesses along with him.
Yeah.
Those clever dudes who was astonished to see what happened to the Gentiles, because they are going to come in very handy in the next chapter.
Witness.
They are going to come in very handy in the next chapter. And so I want to tell you that the enemy continues to fight the church. But in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is going to win. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you very much for tonight. Thank you for your input. Thank you for the fact that we were able to come together to look on the word of the Lord in this fashion. And we trust that next time we come together, we will go to chapter 11, as we discover more about the fulfillment of the Gentile in the Christian church, and to see the program of God, how it is progressing. We give God the glory and the praise for all of you who are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.